They come from Syria, South Sudan, Ethiopia, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. 10 athletes who are refugees are competing for the first ever refugee Olympic team at the Rio Games. NPR's Melissa Block has their story.
10 stories, really, each of them unique, but with a common undertow. Each of these athletes had to flee their homeland and make a new life elsewhere. Some are living in Europe, some here in Brazil, others live and train in Kenya. Some of them don't know if the families they left behind when they fled war are alive or dead. Now, they are the toast of Rio. A stadium-rattling standing ovation greeted the refugee athletes when they entered in the Parade of Nations for opening ceremonies carrying the Olympic flag. 10 athletes representing 65 million refugees around the world.
I feel really great. It's a dream come true that I don't want to wake up from.
Swimmer Rami Anis fled civil war in Syria. He was smuggled in a raft across the Aegean and lives in Belgium now. And dreamlike, though this experience may be, he still wishes he could be competing under the Syrian flag.
Unfortunately, the war prevents us from competing in the name of our country. We hope that in the 2020 Games there will be no war, and we can participate under our own flag. There is nothing nearer and dearer to my heart than the homeland.
The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi, was here in Rio over the weekend. I sat down with him for an interview at the athletes' village just before he met with the refugee team. And I asked him first, beyond the symbolism, why this team?
You know, that was also my reaction when I first heard, should we actually celebrate somebody for being a refugee? One should ask this question. And I think this is not what we're celebrating here. That's not the message. Being a refugee is bad because you flee horrors, you flee war, you flee torture. So we don't want to celebrate that. We want to celebrate people reacting to that and rebuilding their lives.
A cynic who knows about the International Olympic Committee might say this is an organization that is known to be rife with corruption, has had a lot of bad news, and for all of its good intentions, this is also a way for the IOC to look good in the international spotlight, to have this team. Do you think there's any validity to that?
I really think that it's not up to me to comment on things that are not in the sphere of my work and on which I really don't know enough. Then in my conversations with the president of the IOC, a person that I really respect, I had the sense that there was real, deep, and strong commitment.
When you heard the deafening cheer that went up in Maracanã Stadium when the refugee Olympic team walked in, what was that like for you?
Wow, that was amazing. You know, we always hear from politicians in Europe, in America, that we have to be very cautious with accepting migrants, refugees, because public opinion gets upset, has fears. Well, I think that many of them have a huge responsibility in having created that fear, because that fear brings votes. And that's so irresponsible, because it creates also an atmosphere of xenophobia, of hatred, that gives license to very bad violence against people that seek refuge or seek better opportunities. Politicians, I hope that they will find more courage than they presently display to tackle these things in a more generous and open manner.
That's the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi, who hopes that apart from the symbolism of these refugee athletes, their presence here will help translate into global political will. Melissa Block, NPR News, Rio de Janeiro.